Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today on this episode is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing real good, son.
Nice, nice, nice. So the draft was this past weekend.
NFL, yeah, absolutely.
The NFL draft was a good one, especially the first round. There's not a lot of surprises. I think the first surprise was Blake Bortles going to the Jaguars, because you heard about Manziel. And you heard about Bridgewater and maybe one or two other quarterbacks, and then Bortles comes out of nowhere with the third pick for the Jaguars. I didn't expect that one.
No, and I don't think anyone did.
No.
Now the question is, of course, we won't know for how many years that what the results are actually of the draft. You know, winners, losers. It takes a while.
At least 5 years.
That long.
Why, you'd think less?
Well, I'm thinking a little bit less, but yeah.
3 years?
It won't be said in a year.
No.
Now, the other quarterback that was taken by New England was interesting, out of Eastern Illinois.
Oh.
So Sean Payton played there. He broke those records, and he broke Romo's records, Tony Romo.
Right. Was it Eastern Illinois?
Or what is his name? Anyway, Eastern Illinois, yeah.
Because
what could happen here is that the backup quarterback in New England could end up going free agency or whatever.
Ryan Mallett.
Next year.
They were actually talking about
trade him.
Yeah, the Texans were trying to work out a deal to get Ryan Mallett, who's Brady's backup, but it fell through. And
yeah.
They picked up,
They're not ready yet.
Yeah, I believe they picked up Tom Savage, who was a Rutgers.
Yes.
Quarterback, and then he left for Pittsburgh, and so he's been there for a couple of years. So he's there. Manziel got picked up by the Browns.
That was the story. I mean, that kept myself and a lot of people just hanging around.
Sure.
You know, it was late.
It
wanting to see what would happen there. Would Dallas be tempted to do something?
Yeah.
Romo with back surgery. I mean, the drama, it was all about Manziel. I mean, of course, the first pick of the draft, I mean, deservedly so.
It was Clowney,
but
yeah.
How could Texas take how many 6 months and 15 minutes? I mean, they milked that thing right to the end. Please.
Yeah,
I
think they did. There's also that posturing that makes you think, try and work out a better deal for something.
Well, it reminds me of what I do in the parking lot. When I have a really good spot and I back out, I wait. I make people wait because I know how elite that spot is, you know.
Sure, everybody
feel
wants
the
it.
Power of the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what it's all about. So yeah, so I mean, I enjoyed the first round. Like I said, not a lot of surprises, all that sort of stuff. I know the Vikings dropped in at the end to pick up Bridgewater to be their quarterback and.
Well, I don't know. I mean, his stock went up, down, and sideways.
Yeah, they keep talking about Bridgewater that he's got a lot of potential but a low ceiling.
Well, to me, he doesn't meet the moment.
No.
And the Jaguars quarterback, Bortles?
Bortles.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, his college career towards the end was marked by big, big plays.
Absolutely.
Late.
Yeah, that is very true.
So, you know, people like to be with a winner.
No, absolutely. And I know that the Jaguars have been stuck in pretty much last place and laughingstock position for several years now, ever since Coughlin left and Brunel left.
Well,
and
yeah, that's going back a few years. But, I mean, last year I was amazed to hear an NFL coach say that winning's not the important thing right now. It's playing together. And winning will come. So the patience of the franchise is amazing, if it pays off.
If it pays off. Well, it's a...
I think it will.
Well, I mean, it's never
the... turns.
Sure. And it's never the same playoff. It's never the six same playoff teams that make it.
Look at the Giants.
Parity. Yeah,
they took like four team captains in the draft. Yeah. Big thing about leadership. And, hey, effort's a big part of it once the talent's matched.
That is true.
And accountability.
Well, you work as a unit.
Well, you work as a unit, but you still need to be accountable. And that's what leaders are or should be.
Very true. Very true. So, yeah, so I enjoyed the draft. I was actually sticking around a while. A very small and slight connection to a friend of ours is a co-worker with the mother of a player who was drafted.
Okay.
So we were kind of sticking around to wait and watch.
See what happens there.
Yeah. So, and he actually got picked up by his hometown team, which was pretty exciting. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was exciting to see the name because all that stuff. So when it happened, it was like, hey, that's cool. We have a small connection. So makes that human interaction, that drama.
Oh, sure.
Even
absolutely.
Bigger. Even better.
You feel like you have skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. So, yeah, so that happened. The draft happened. The playoffs are going on. NBA.
NBA, yeah.
Starting to get closer to
recent,
the...
What was I hearing about Bad Call?
In the... was it the Thunder-Clipper games?
Yes.
Thunder-Clipper game at the end of... Yeah. I mean, that series has been going back and forth. I know it's the Thunder's up, I believe, 3-2 now. They're in the driver's seat. They have to go back to L.A.
Too much drama for the Clippers.
Well, absolutely.
People don't like distractions in sports.
No, you never want that.
The only good, but except the Rangers, a player whose mom died a couple of days before Mother's Day.
Right. Was that a St. Louis? Martin St. Louis, I think. I might be wrong. I forget.
Yeah, from Montreal. It was a Canadian player.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that it's a...
Yeah, but that type of thing brings the team together.
Yes, absolutely.
They rally around that.
No, absolutely.
But having to turn your uniform inside out because the owner's stinking up the place, that's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, it hurts, but... I mean, they haven't given up. I'll say that much.
Okay.
I mean, they're playing a tough Thunder team. You know,
yeah.
They're playing the MVP.
Well, the Clippers were always the other team in town.
Yeah. I compare it to the Mets.
Like, really?
The Clippers are...
Right, they've won two championships.
Who? The Clippers?
Mets.
Well, the Mets, yeah, I know, but what
well,
I'm saying...
Well, I mean, come on, give them credit.
No, I am, but what I'm saying is compared to the other team...
Oh, the Yankee dynasty. Well, I've been watching the Yankees-Mets a couple of the last few days, and... Mets are kicking them around.
They haven't.
I think it's six straight now or whatever.
Six.
Going last year and this year.
Yeah, last year they swept the season series from the Yankees. And then this year they won the first two games at Yankee Stadium, put on big offensive shows.
Right.
Scoring nine runs and then 12 runs.
Well, watching the Yankees, it's amazing how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, well, it's... When
you hang on to people too long, it's like
true.
The Philadelphia Phillies there. I mean, all of a sudden you turn around and the roster is 35 years old, everybody.
No, it's true. When that sort of pipeline dries up, because you always talk about the core four. But, I mean, that's it. Like, there's no like, oh, this is the addition to the core four.
No.
No. I mean, you know, somebody like Brett Gardner, he's a good player, but... He's not that game changer. He's not one you would put out there and say, this is an addition to the core four. No, that's a complementary player. I mean, if we were going by that, then Melky Cabrera should still be on the team and, you know, all these other players. Huh?
Cano
is a perfect example. But he wasn't part of that. He didn't fit the bill. He wasn't, you know, apparently he wasn't a team first guy, you know. Or
well,
at least he,
I know he's a slow starter because it seems like he walked around and never ran at first.
True.
Now, Ruth could do that, but then he just put so many over the fences.
Oh, yeah, he hit him far enough that he could walk if he wanted to.
True.
Or do that old-timey film stutter step, you know, when they speed up the film. It moves really fast.
And then he looks normal.
Right, exactly. He looks normal. So, yeah, so they've been doing pretty well, the Mets against the Yankees this season. And
yeah, well, I think the wheel's probably turning. Because the owner, Hal, represents the ownership. So he's not George. He's not the old man.
No.
He doesn't have the fire in his belly, I don't think.
No.
Or the ability
to
pull
it off.
Oh,
is that Hank?
Is it Hank? Yeah.
Yeah, Hank. Hal's the one who actually does the day-to-day business.
Right, right.
Hank is the mouthpiece. Hank is the one who's trying to be his father.
Well, when you got two owners, you really don't have any.
It's true. So. Well, they also talk about the Tampa Bay, was it the Tampa contingency or the Tampa mafia,
right,
Randy
right.
Levine and
yeah,
Stick
yeah,
Mike,
yeah.
You know, all those
well,
guys.
Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, the Rat Pack's great too, but they're not around either.
That is true. Good
so
point.
This is what legends are made of.
Yeah, very true. So that's so right now, actually, we're watching the game together, and the Yankees are up 2-0 at Citi Field, which I figured. It seems like if the Mets do well at Yankee Stadium, it's turnaround's fair play, because then the Yankees go to Citi Field and they do well.
Well, with both these bullpens, I mean, kind of be watching inning 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, really. Yeah, because it could change.
Everything can change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's no Mariano Rivera out there anymore.
No. No, not as automatic as he once was. But yeah, this is Rafael Montero, who's a big prospect for the Mets. Him and there's another player down there, Noah Syndergaard.
Syndergaard, sure.
They call him Thor because he's got like the long last name, and it's got the two A's in it, so they just call him Thor.
That's great. Well, you know, they keep replenishing here with young stock in the Met pitchers, and the Yankees, they go down and they really don't have the replacement.
No.
And this guy, Tanaka here, is just fantastic, and he's no number three. He's their ace now.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, I'd have to say so, absolutely.
He really manipulates. He's like, to me, it looks like he's judo of pitching. Like, he really takes advantage of these hitters' aggressiveness.
Yeah, well, they put up
and then he throws them junk. He throws a lot of balls but doesn't walk a lot of people. So he knows how to pitch.
They put up a stat that he has a very low percentage of in the hitting zone pitches, like pitches that are in the hitting zone. But he also has the highest chase percentage that players will go down chase.
That's what I'm saying.
Because Japanese pitchers throw a lot of off-speed pitches. They talk about how Asian cultures being the best at something. So you do it over and over and over again. They talk about, like, with hitters, they'll take 1,000 swings a day or something like that.
Well, in 1945, we saw some deception.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean, now, this might be cultural.
41.
Oh, 41.
No, we did a little bit of deception. We just said, it's a plane up there. Don't worry.
It worked.
Yeah. So in something like Japanese culture, where like hitters will take 1,000 swings a day, or 10,000, and then so the pitchers do the same thing. They'll constantly throw over and over and over again, which can damage their arms. So their fastballs don't have that sort of life and speed to it. So what they do is
his cutter does.
Well, his cutter does, absolutely, but that's about pressure and stuff.
Sure.
So when you get to that's why they throw a lot of junk stuff.
I enjoy the art form.
Of pitching?
Yes. Yes. Sure. It's like the sweet science of boxing.
Sure.
So you don't have to knock people out to win.
No, absolutely.
And you can frustrate them to victory.
Yeah. And it's great because everybody can have their own pitching style.
I like it. It's fun to watch.
There's a cool picture series that somebody did online where they took all these baseball cards. You know, baseball cards, especially pitchers, it's from the front, from the plate view of them coming in for a pitch. And so it's frozen in time. Somebody took all, I don't know how, it was hundreds, it had to be a couple hundred cards. And it was the pitching form, like from the windup, arm behind the back, and then coming through the pitch.
Nice.
All these pictures, and it was one fluid motion. And, you know, your brain, you know, looks
at... Is that like the movie projector where you take the cards and you print those
pretty much
on it and just flip through them?
Pretty much,
and you see action.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
That's great.
It was really, really cool to see.
Sure, it's fascinating.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is.
Bunch of stills put together in motion.
That's right.
Now we're talking.
So that was really cool.
Comes alive.
It does. So,
what about hockey?
Hockey?
What's going on out there?
Well, the Rangers just beat the Penguins. They came back from 3-1 deficit.
That was fantastic. I would watch any game 7 in hockey.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best. Anything can happen.
Oh, I like it. The refs, except for icing, the refs could have been in there taking a shower.
Sure.
It didn't matter. That was
because you never want,
bodies were flying all over the place.
I'm saying you never want to be the one to call a power play. And then have the game, you know.
No, exactly.
Never want that to happen. So I think that, yeah, any sort of game.
And
in
the Ranger goalie was just amazing. I mean, I saw all kinds of pileups late in that game, and the puck was hard for me to find. I don't know what he could, I mean, the on ice level and the and all the bodies there, just a tremendous job. Mm-hmm.
Henrik. Yeah.
Because if you didn't see the actual scoring and just watched the game,
yeah,
but weren't able to see the actual scores, you would think the Penguins won the game. They had a lot of shots on goal. They looked really active.
But Lundqvist, he's everything.
He's got to be in the net.
That's right. Yeah, you know, they keep track of shots on goal, but you really care about how many goals make it in. So they just beat the Penguins. You know, the Bruins and Canadians are playing a Game 7 right now.
Now, I thought the Ducks would win the Cup.
It's likely. I mean, it could happen.
Is there a chance?
Yeah, but, you know, the Kings have a...
commanding lead.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good. There's a thing about how all these Southern California teams, like the San Jose Sharks and the Kings and the Ducks, and they talk about a lot of those teams have... local players, and they're
That's
successful.
Great. That's great.
And it turns out it's one of those sort of outlier things.
It's great for American hockey.
Yeah. So there's a new boom in Southern California of hockey and really good hockey players. And it's one of those outlier things. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
If you look back, all these Canadian players or all these European players, they're signed, they come, or they're traded, and they play in L.A. or Anaheim or San Jose. They retire. Maybe it's at the end of their career. So they finish with those teams, and they look around and say, this is paradise.
Great place to live.
Why would I go back to Sweden?
Right.
Why would I go back you know, was it Thunder Bay?
Well, you also need money to play hockey.
Well, sure.
You know,
in
a warm climate, I mean, that's going to be rented ice time. That's expensive.
No, absolutely.
Equipment, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
And then so they go into coaching. And they coach all the. I mean, these are professional hockey players. These aren't guys who made it up.
So you got a pocket of success there.
Sure, and then they teach these
based on retired talent.
Yeah, so and that's how you get all these really good local Southern California kids.
Okay.
Playing down there. So.
So off with the roller skates, on with the ice skates.
Well, sure, but it doesn't help to, doesn't hurt to roller skate around a little bit. Get yourself.
Muscle Beach.
Well, yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I'm getting the picture.
There you go. And then if, now whoever wins the Bruins-Montreal series plays
the
Rangers.
Rangers.
And all three of those teams are original six teams. So the Eastern Conference Finals.
So maybe the Blackhawks.
Maybe if the Blackhawks, they worked it out where it's like the percentage.
They won last year.
They did. They worked it out where the percentage of the likelihood of an original six matchup for the Stanley Cup, and it's only like a 6% chance, but with every round it gets closer and closer to that.
Yeah, well, you know, hockey to me doesn't really play to form in gambling, but the NBA seems to. The better teams win in the NBA for
absolutely
the most part. But in hockey, like, the Rangers weren't supposed to beat the Penguins.
No. No, the Rangers are a 5 seed.
The scheduling was, and the way a lot of things were going against them.
Yeah.
And to win a game 7 on the road.
On the road, too.
Against what I thought was a better team.
Now the Penguins.
It's fascinating.
No, I agree. It is, and it's fascinating, and, you know, you'll have to see where it goes.
There's more puncher chances in hockey than there are in basketball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you're more likely to hear about an 8 seed beating a 1 seed in hockey than you are in basketball.
Right.
I mean,
Now, the Derby winner, California Chrome.
California Chrome.
First California bred horse to win since, I think, 1962.
Okay.
And now he's going to have a shot at Pimlico. There were 20 horses in the Derby, and he won that easily.
Right.
And it was almost like a workout. Now he's going to be at Pimlico to run in the Preakness, to run for the Black Eyed Susies, and he only has to beat 9 horses. So he's got a shorter field. And I think he saved enough gas in the tank by running easy and wasn't tested, tried.
Now, it's a bigger leap to go from the Preakness to the Belmont. Correct?
Well, it is.
Because the Belmont's a longer track.
Well, it's a mile and a half. The first race is a mile and a quarter.
Right.
Preakness is a mile and 3/16.
Right.
And then you have Belmont, which is a mile and a half. There are no mile-and-a-half races in America anymore.
No.
Those days are over. So right. They're not bred for speed.
No, they're not, but no.
You know, but the more taxing than that is the fact that 2 weeks after the Derby comes the Preakness.
Right.
And then June 7th is the Derby. So that's way too much taxation.
Yeah, that's a lot to do.
On a three-year-old.
Absolutely, that's a lot to do. That's really fast. But I think isn't a smaller yeah. gap between race 2 and 3 than 1 and 2 or something like that? Yeah, so while it's 2 weeks between the Derby and the Preakness, it's only like a week.
No.
Or something like that.
That's June. What's Saturday's date?
Saturday's date will be the
15th, June.
16th, 17th. So the 17th?
Yeah, and yeah. June 7th. So it's actually a week longer.
Okay, so... But still, it's a lot of running to do for these young horses, and that's why you haven't seen a Derby, a Triple Crown winner since Secretariat in the 70s.
Probably affirmed. Or
I thought affirmed was longer. 78. Okay, my apologies. My apologies.
The difficult part of it all is that there's only one horse.
Right.
Now that can win the Triple Crown because he has one race under his belt.
Because he won it, yeah.
This is the only horse.
Yeah.
Coming into Pimlico. That's not the sales pitch for the Derby.
No.
You know, so...
Yeah, all these other races are... See if this horse can continue.
Plus, you have to enter the Derby by how much money you've earned now with the new rules.
Right.
Pimlico, at the Preakness, they don't have that structure.
Right.
So you can pick a horse off. In other words, somebody can wait and be rested.
Yeah.
And
then overtake.
Blow up their Triple Crown chances, right?
Which you know.
So it gets harder and harder.
Right. And I know right now California Chrome is a 3-5 odds.
Yeah, he is. I like it to happen. And I'll be at the Belmont.
You're going.
So I have reserves, yeah.
You're going.
Some seats reserved there,
ooh,
yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, last time I went was in 1979. It's a really muddy, rainy day. And they announced that this horse, Temperance Hill, would be wearing mud caulks. And I told a friend of mine who's no longer with us, I told Craig, I said, that horse couldn't win if he had rockets on his feet. Well, he went off at like 50-1 and, of course, won Temperance Hill.
That's
never
funny.
Never forget that. Yeah, it was shocking. So
that's funny. Who was the 79? Who was the Derby? Do you remember the Derby winner 79?
No, I don't. I do remember the Pirates. I think won the World Series.
We Are Family.
We Are Family. Right. That was big.
That's right, Sister Sledge.
But that's going back a few years.
Yeah, I'd say so. At least. 35 right. years.
But being at the Belmont, I haven't been to the Derby. I've been to the Preakness.
Right.
And the Preakness, you can enter the infield. It's going underneath the racetrack.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So I don't know how it is now, but it used to be. People would bring coolers of beer. It was a really fan favorite place and
sure.
fan friendly.
I'm going to assume that they might not do something like that, but you could probably still hang out in the infield.
This is back in the day.
Right. Oh, well, everything is back in the day. You said you used to jump turnstiles at Shea Stadium.
Let me check with my lawyer here. Hold on a second.
you have to be careful.
It's okay for me to speak on this matter. I would go to Shea Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we would tailgate.
Right.
And purposely wait until the game started.
Right.
And then... for $5, have one of the guys at the turnstile turn his head, give him $5, and jump the stile. Of course, you didn't have a seat.
Right.
But you were in the stadium.
Oh, sure.
But I like to follow the ball.
Sure. You can go where, yeah. Walk around.
Walk around and follow the ball, duck in just to see the action because there's so much waiting.
Yeah, stick your head up, see how everything is.
Right.
All that stuff.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Nice. That's really cool. Yeah, I always like hearing those little stories about that stuff. All right, well, thanks, Dad. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Oh, always fun, son.
Excellent, excellent. Have fun at the race.
Oh, absolutely.
And
June 7th.
I hope you win it big.
I think it's a Triple Crown opportunity.
Oh, there you go. So watch out for California Chrome. Drop a couple dollars on her.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the store. You can visit our website, everymansports.podbean.com, or you can email me with any questions, comments, concerns at everymansports@gmail.com. It's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thanks very much. Dad, take care.
Okay, bye-bye,
son. All right, bye.